Take the Heavens, written by Bluebell Star, read by Devil with a Bird Dress. Summary. Dionysus and Ariadne AU, with Obi-Wan taking the place of Ariadne, and Cody playing Dionysus. Author notes. Part of the 2022 Cody 1 AU Fest. When I saw the prompts gods/goddesses, I had to indulge my classics past and write something. And so this was born. Inspired by Ovid's interpretation of the myth, but not entirely. Title is taken from Ovid, though. Obi-Wan didn't love Prince Quinlan of Athens. He knew that. They both knew that. Perhaps it was cruel of Obi-Wan to have accompanied him, implicit in the promise that his presence meant something more than it really did. That the two of them could perhaps have become something. But Obi-Wan simply had no other choice. If he could have seen one, Obi-Wan would have moved heaven and earth to ensure it had happened. As it was, Quinlan was his way out. And Obi-Wan had been Quinlan's survival. Quid pro quo, a reciprocal arrangement, all above board. The king was no father to him. Knossos was no home to him. Not anymore. At some point, after Obi-Wan had realized what his father was doing, what those sacrifices meant, his gilded palace had become nothing more than a cage. A prison as much for him as it was for his poor, monstrous half-brother. His poor brother, trapped forever underground in Daedalus's maze. His death, the price of Obi-Wan's freedom. Obi-Wan had done what he had to do, what anyone forced into an impossible position would have done. Anakin, the only family he truly had had left a few years before, gone to matrimony a happy man. Obi-Wan had borne life on Crete as long as he could, longer than anyone with a conscience could abide. So, when Quinlan had offered him a way out, Obi-Wan had seen his chance, and he had taken it. And now here he was, on a ship bound for Athens. He should feel good, happy. He should feel anything but a hollow sense of dread. They had won. The Minotaur was dead. Crete was behind them. So why did Obi-Wan feel as if he was about to exchange one prison for another? A few days into their voyage back to Athens, Quinlan found Obi-Wan on the deck of his ship. Those look like deep thoughts, Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan bit back the smirk that threatened to emerge. Princes didn't smirk, or so his father said. I realize they're unfamiliar to you, Quinlan, but they don't hurt, I assure you. Ouch. Quinlan staggered back against the side of the ship, his eyes twinkling in the sunshine. The man Obi-Wan had seen somersault into the ocean because he felt like it only yesterday, sobered. What's wrong? He hadn't intended to broach the subject so soon, but since Quinlan asked, it was perhaps best to simply come out with it. You don't love me, and, fond as I am of you, I don't love you. So, Quinlan shrugged, leaning his arms against the gunwale. I'm a prince, you're a prince, it's advantageous. It's a prison for both of us, Obi-Wan corrected, his eyes on the horizon. Someday, you will find someone that you love and you want to marry, and I'll be in the way. So you'll either remove me or resent me. And frankly, Quinlan, I deserve better than that. And so do you. Obi-Wan felt Quinlan's gaze rest heavily on his face. Only the gods know the future. Yes, and I would never have so much hubris as to suggest I know better than them. But I know human nature, Quinn. I've seen it happen time and again. It doesn't mean that friendship isn't enough. Obi-Wan cast his gaze up to the heavens, praying for patience. By the gods, do you want to marry me, Quinlan? Quinlan's brow wrinkled, the young prince seeming to actually think it over for once. Well, not really, but I promised I would. You promised you would deliver me from Crete, Obi-Wan spread his arms, taking in the wide sea. You fulfilled your promise. We're free. Seriousness, never something often on Quinlan's face, cast dark shadows over his features. If we return to Athens, which I must, my father will make us marry. And neither of us want that. Finally, Quinlan nodded, his tone heavy. No. Then you must do what you have to. Obi, Quinlan. A gentle smile curled his lips. We are all in the hands of the gods. If it is their will that I go to Athens, I will find myself on Athens. But what if this is our one chance, in the moments between duties overtaking us, to do what we want? If we pass this up, are we not spurning the fates? Quinlan regarded him with eyes dark and sad. I'll have to be unkind. No one kinder than I. It was understanding, acceptance, gratitude. Quinlan wasn't ready to marry, and Obi-Wan wasn't willing to tie his life to regret. Whatever would come of this would be for the best. Break. Perhaps Obi-Wan had not entirely thought that through. When Quinlan had said he would have to be unkind, Obi-Wan had at least hoped he would be so good as to drop him off on some settled island or another, somewhere he could walk far enough inland that he would forget and be forgotten. Not wherever this was, some godforsaken spit of land, unpopulated and lonely. There would be no purchasing passage on a vessel and going in search of Anakin. No tearful family reunion, no life of quiet contemplation and study, just whatever he could make of this existence, eking out a life among the rocks. Yet, he had his freedom, he had his health, and he had the few possessions he had spirited away with him from Crete. It wasn't much, but it was a start. Many people had it far worse than him. Obi-Wan couldn't think of any at that point, but he was certain that they existed. Poor men shipwrecked with nothing more than the clothes on their backs, perhaps. His poor heartbroken mother, for another. Part of him wanted to sink to his knees in the soft sand by the surf, to drop his head into his hands and to cry. He wanted to bewail the cruelty of the gods, to have forced him into giving up everything for nothing in return. But only a fool challenged the gods, turned their backs on fate. Obi-Wan was many things, but he was no fool. Sitting here, where he had awoken after falling asleep aboard ship, he certainly felt like one. A damned fool, lost and alone. Break. By the time night fell, Selene casting her heavenly glow all around, Obi-Wan had managed to achieve more than he could have hoped. A ways off the beach, Obi-Wan had cobbled together a ramshackle structure. It wasn't much, just a small shelter to sleep in and a fire to keep him warm. Hardly his father's palace, but it was warm and dry. He had food enough in the sea rations Quinlan had hidden in his bag. A small jar of drinking water, too. Given the circumstances, Obi-Wan decided he couldn't complain. Except, perhaps, for want of company. That, he mused, was rather the downside of being marooned on a desert island. No one to talk to, no companion to share his troubles. True, There was also no one to expect things of him, nor to condemn him for betraying his family. But Obi-Wan was a social creature. He needed company just as much as the next person. Even Hades in the underworld had his Persephone. Gods and mortals were not made to be lonely. But if isolation was his lot, Obi-Wan would endure it. Rather freedom and loneliness than company and a life decided for him again and again. No sooner had he attempted to make peace with this decision than he heard it. A noise like rustling coming from the trees behind him. Most people, upon hearing a strange noise on an apparently deserted island, would reach for a weapon of some sort. Obi-Wan had no sword, no dagger, and he doubted that he would do much damage with any of the sticks he had gathered for the fire. Besides, he was a man of peace at heart, and if there was another soul trapped on this island, Obi-Wan would rather not make an enemy of them. He stood, torch from the fire in hand, and stumbled a few paces towards the noise. And he appeared. It was as if Aphrodite, accompanied by winged Eros, had descended upon him, blessing him with everything he never knew he had wished for. He was dressed far more simply than Obi-Wan, thin rags barely covering everything propriety would expect. Obi-Wan suspected him a shipwreck, one of the unfortunate victims of Poseidon's wrath. But by the gods, Obi-Wan had never seen anyone quite so handsome in all his days. Moonlight caressed black curls, enhanced sculpted cheekbones, sparkling within deep, amber eyes. And if Obi-Wan kept staring at him the way he was, he had the startling suspicion that he would scare him away. Prince in exile he may be, but Obi-Wan was still a prince. Hospitality was their code of honor. He would not turn away a stranger, even if this stranger would take the very last thing he had. It was not polite. It was not acceptable. And even if it was, Obi-Wan would not turn this handsome stranger away. Not even if the gods descended from Olympus and told him to. "Good evening," Obi-Wan greeted, biting back the flirty "hello there" that had been on his lips. The man stared at Obi-Wan for a long moment, giving him the uncomfortable feeling that he was being assessed. Obi-Wan had never done well with being assessed. It made him want to do something cheeky, or make a comment that would either be this side of biting or more than usually sarcastic. Neither of which, Obi-Wan reflected, would make a good impression on the only other soul marooned on this desolate spit of land. "Good evening," the man managed, his voice raspy from disuse. In fact, it made Obi-Wan's throat hurt just to hear it. Without thinking, he held out the jar that held his precious sips of drinkable water. "Please," he said, watching the guarded light enter his eyes. "It's just water, I assure you." Setting the jar down in the sand, Obi-Wan returned to his fire, hoping that the man might come and join him if Obi-Wan proved he meant him no harm. And he truly did not. Obi-Wan had no malice in his heart towards anyone. He was just so blasted tired. There was the faintest flicker of movement, the man coming to sit cross-legged on the opposite side of the fire. "Thank you," he murmured, the jar settled into the ground beside him. "It was nothing," Obi-Wan dismissed, for some reason uncomfortable with the man's grateful stare. "It was something," the man countered, his voice almost musical now that it had lost its hoarse quality. "Not everyone would share their last mouthfuls of water." "Are we not in Hellas?" Obi-Wan returned, hiding a brief smile in the ducking of his head. "Is hospitality not our greatest creed?" The man could hardly disagree. Obi-Wan smiled properly. The first since his arrival on wherever in the name of the gods they were. I was happy to do so. Then, to avoid having to think of his new companion as the man, Obi-Wan introduced himself. I'm Obi-Wan. Cody. It's a pleasure to meet you, Cody. And the same to you, Obi-Wan. Cody's eyes flashed a brief smile. You're the first person I've seen since I washed ashore days ago. I woke up here this morning and despaired of ever finding company, Obi-Wan commiserated. After all, it was only fair to share his own story. As much as he was capable, anyway. Some of the particulars eluded even him. Cody looked up, finding an expression of deepest surprise on Cody's handsome face. Who would be so faithless as to abandon you here? A man I was never going to marry, Obi-Wan smiled, poking at the fire with a stick to coax it into more life. He had the best intentions, even if I can't entirely praise his execution. Cody's gaze dropped into a glare full of ancient anger. The gods ought to smite him where he stands. I would not wish that, Obi-Wan chided, longing for tea to occupy his hands. I used him as ill as he treated me. We are neither of us blameless. There is no crime you could have committed to earn this punishment, Cody gritted out, the set of his jaw looking painful. Only the gods. My dear, Obi-Wan interrupted, the endearment feeling right in the moment. I am quite at peace with the situation. I have food, shelter, fire. I'm sure I'll be able to find some adequate drinking water somewhere. And now I have company? What more could anyone ask for? A faithful love. The speed of Cody's reply was almost unnerving, as if he had reached deep inside Obi-Wan and seen the one thing he truly was missing. I was never his love, Obi-Wan stated easily. And he was never mine. Sad surprise flickered over Cody's face. Do you not wish for love? I hope for it, Obi-Wan replied, not knowing his response until the words fled from his lips. But I do not wish for it. Wishes are for children and dreamers. I prefer reality, and love is seldom seen in reality. Molten eyes caught his own, Obi-Wan suddenly finding it hard to think of anything beyond them and the ancient emotions buried within. What of your brother? Anakin is the exception which proves all rules, Obi-Wan retorted instantly, and his love was not without sacrifice. He had to forsake us all, and I have never seen him since. And you think his love is less the worthy for it? Obi-Wan couldn't help a laugh, shaking his head. I think it is all the more, for I imagine he is all the more grateful for its existence. Love without sacrifice is untested. Sacrifice shows how much we want it. A shrug rolled Obi-Wan's shoulders. The talk of love making him melancholy. For my part, I simply miss my brother. I miss mine, Cody murmured, his sadness visible on his face only for a moment. But is it not the will of fate that brothers spread to the winds and rarely see each other again? I know in my heart that he is happy, Obi-Wan said. Not quite knowing why or how the conversation turned to Anakin. And what of your own happiness? My fate is not happiness, Cody, Obi-Wan smiled. That much he had made peace with long ago. Let Anakin have the grand destiny and all the happiness that comes with it. Obi-Wan himself was meant for something far lesser. What fate do you think you were decreed? Cody's gaze was intent, curious, yet almost sad. Obi-Wan's smile grew. Oh, how he already adored the man before him. The honest emotion in those wondrous eyes almost made his reply die on his tongue. Obi-Wan didn't want to bring more pain to him. Cody, alas, made it impossible for him to hold the words on his tongue. Your fate, Obi-Wan? Sadness, my dear, Obi-Wan replied softly, a smile curling his lips. Infinite sadness. That ancient power flared again in Cody's eyes. Because your father is the king of Crete and you betrayed him? Obi-Wan inclined his head, quietly regarding the man before him. Well, that certainly explained everything. If Cody was his real name, Obi-Wan would eat his tunic. Yet, there was something magnetic about him, something that made Obi-Wan care less about his deception and simply indulge in the gentle warmth of his company. Because I gladly gave it all up for Anakin. That's not the way it works. An amused smile cut over Obi-Wan's lips. Well, you would know. Cody's laugh rang out, bright and surprised. I've always been pants at the whole blending in is immortal thing. Rex does it so much better. Obi-Wan's eyebrows wrinkled above his nose. Rex? You know him as Hermes. Cody's voice took on the inflection common to all older brothers. Sneaky little punk. If it's any consolation, Cody, you were doing very well before you started dropping all the omniscient information. Cody hit his knee, a twinkling smile brightening his face. That always gets me. Which one are you? Obi-Wan had his suspicions, but he would like to know for sure. Cody's expression turned as unyielding as stone. Does it matter? It did. When dealing with the mercurial gods, it always did. Or it ought to. Too many mortals had come a cropper that way. But it was Cody, the handsome, breathtaking stranger he had met not half an hour before. And if this brief moment in time was all the happiness he ever knew, Obi-Wan did not intend to waste it. Not really, no. You looked sad, Cody observed, his gaze intense across the fire. And you're lying to me. I told you I meant for sadness, Obi-Wan quipped, rewarded with a flash of exasperation over Cody's godly features. You'd give up your curiosity just to have my company? Obi-Wan chuckled, rubbing his hand over his beard. In case it slipped your attention, I'm marooned on an island. Your company is the only company around. I am in no hurry to give it up. Cody's laugh echoed in the quietude. Well, I feel flattered. Obi-Wan raised his eyebrow, giving the fire another needless poke. I'm sure you have thousands of people to flatter you. I'll favor you with the truth. That unmeasurably old gaze flickered mirthfully. Or truth from a certain point of view. Damn him. Obi-Wan did like to indulge his flair for speaking the truth, from a certain point of view. But it wasn't polite, in mortal circles, to draw attention to it. Speaking of truth, though, Obi-Wan wasn't the only one skirting that particular virtue. Leaning forward, as much as he could with the flickering fire between them, Obi-Wan penned Cody with his most curious gaze. Why did you come here, wherever under Olympus we are? Cody avoided his gaze, those warm eyes looking up at the stars. Cody's mouth worked, yet no words emerged. For some reason, something inside Obi-Wan's heart found that unutterably endearing. Came by accident? Took a wrong turn at Cyprus? Nothing of the sort, Cody sniffed, drawing himself up tall. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. A cool breeze blew off the sea, bumps prickling over Obi-Wan's skin. He moved closer to the fire. The fact that it was also closer to Cody was neither here nor there. Somehow, my dear Cody, I doubt very much that anything you can do would make me uncomfortable. Cody stumbled over his words again, taking a stick from somewhere and using it to poke at the fire. Have I offended the gods somehow? Obi-Wan wondered, taking pity on him. It wouldn't surprise me, the way my life is turning. Cody's eyes widened. He seemed to jolt as if surprised. I doubt anything you could do would offend the gods, Obi-Wan. Betraying my family, helping a stranger kill my half-brother, speaking so candidly to you about anything that happens to cross my mind, Obi-Wan flashed a self-deprecating smile. Those are just to name a few. Do I seem offended? A mortal cannot presume understanding of the gods, Obi-Wan demurred, casting his gaze downward. Please don't start that with me, Cody requested, shuddering visibly. His voice took on a hollow, almost resigned note, as if he had actually enjoyed Obi-Wan's honest candor. Triumph flared briefly in his heart. Obi-Wan leaned back a smidgen, gazing at him through his eyelashes. Then perhaps you might be candid with me. Cody met his gaze, Obi-Wan feeling a small smirk twitching his lips. You're laughing at me. Obi-Wan held a hand to his heart, blinking innocent eyes. I'd never dare. He smiled, pointing a finger in mock severity at Cody's chest. And you're avoiding the question. I have, from time to time, looked in on you from Olympus, Cody blurted, a light blush roving over his cheeks. Obi-Wan didn't know that the gods could blush, but it was very fetching on Cody. It became him as the stars became the night sky. Obi-Wan's stunned silence seemed to be taken as offense, Cody hastening to add, Nothing inappropriate, I assure you, I just. Cody stood up, pacing in front of the fire. It was all Obi-Wan could do to will his cheeks not to flame and his eyes to follow him above the waist. Now, bathed in the moon's tender glow, Obi-Wan could see the godly aura shining from his very being. It made Cody's words all the harder to digest. Why would a god care to look in on Obi-Wan? He was nobody. Just a prince of a corrupt family. The only good thing in his life had fled Crete as soon as he could. Why me? You were the brightest part of Crete, Cody replied instantly, his eyes as sincere as his voice. The less said about your parents and the majority of your siblings, the better, but you. Cody, it seemed, was not the most articulate of the gods. If Obi-Wan hadn't already known that he was not Apollo, this would have proven it. You were never beaten down by it. You always looked after your brother and tried to help the sacrifices where you could, even if you couldn't release them from their fate. Cody paused, only just inches from Obi-Wan's seat. You were the only thing worth looking in on there. And you were kind and handsome. And when I saw that faithless creature had abandoned you here, I couldn't help myself. I needed to see you, to know you were unharmed. Obi-Wan bit back the brilliant smile that his giddy heart longed to set free. You could have seen that from Olympus. But you were lonely, and I cannot abide seeing you sad. Sooner or later, Cody, you will have to see me sad, Obi-Wan murmured, staring up at the god. Such is a fact of life. I am mortal, and the curse of mortality is sadness and death. Watching the dark clouds passing over Cody's brow, Obi-Wan pasted on a cheerful smile. But sooner than that, my dear, you will have to ascend to Olympus, and I must stay here and make something of this charming island. The way Cody's lip curled minutely spoke volumes on his opinions of the dubious charms of the island they found themselves on. There is, Cody began, setting himself down on the ground beside Obi-Wan. A solution to that. Obi-Wan offered a wan smile. Unless you can spirit me away to wherever my brother is and guarantee me a peaceful, if unhappy, existence there, I don't see any possible solution. Cody's eyes focused, warm and gentle on Obi-Wan's face. He felt the caress of hands against his own, soothing and safe. Come with me to Olympus. Everything that made Obi-Wan's brilliant mind brilliant appeared to have disappeared in the merest brush of Cody's skin on his. The gods do not suffer mortals on Olympus. Those warm hands enclosed his own, thumbs caressing Obi-Wan's skin. And you are attached to your mortality? Cody could not be implying what Obi-Wan thought, hoped, he was implying. It just simply did not happen. Relationships between the gods and mortals lasted nights at most. They certainly didn't invite them to Olympus and raise them to gods. It never happened. And if it did, it certainly wouldn't happen to Obi-Wan. Better mortals qualified for immortality, not whatever mistaken creature Obi-Wan was. Nothing good comes from wishing for immortality, Obi-Wan murmured sadly. There were too many tales to count of mortals trying and gaining immortality, but it never ended well, not for the mortal. That was gentle amusement in Cody's eyes, his smile tender. And if it was offered, my prince? How in the name of the gods was Obi-Wan supposed to reply to that? Either he listened to common sense and his logical mind and turned Cody down flat, and then got turned to something pathetic and disgusting where he stood, perhaps a banana slug. Or he listened to his mortal heart and accepted, in which case the other 11 Olympians would probably smite him where he stood without even the unpleasant option of life as a banana slug. Either way, Obi-Wan couldn't see it ending well for him. My dear, Obi-Wan began in the gentlest tone he could manage. Perhaps he could make Cody see reason, or at least as much reason as any mortal ever could make a god see. You know me, Cody interrupted, his voice as sweet as the grapes on the vine. The moment you saw me, in your heart, you knew me, as if you always had and always would. He had. Damn Cody, but he had. Seeing Cody even now, after untold minutes with nothing but his company, Obi-Wan felt like he was coming home. Like everything in his entire life had been for this moment alone, for this stolen while on a deserted island. But that was romantic thinking, a dreamer's thinking. Obi-Wan couldn't afford to think like that. He daren't listen to his heart. Mortal hearts were fickle things, so easily broken. Cody could break it in a heartbeat, and he wouldn't even have to try. Was this love? Obi-Wan had certainly never felt anything quite like it before. His heart felt light, his stomach all tingly. Oh, gods, no wonder Anakin had been so nauseating. Obi-Wan made the mistake of looking up, losing himself in the depthless tenderness of Cody's gaze. Didn't he know he couldn't look at Obi-Wan like that? It wasn't fair. Not when Obi-Wan couldn't. Not when they couldn't. It wasn't fair. Cody. Cody's hand smoothed a burning path up his arm, coming to rest against his cheek. Obi-Wan fell into Cody's eyes once more. Obi-Wan hadn't had so much as a sip of wine, but he felt drunk on his closeness alone. Come to Olympus with me? Obi-Wan allowed a gently exasperated smile to curl his lips, the corner brushing the pad of Cody's thumb. And have the rest of the gods vying for the honor to bestow awful fates upon me? Obi-Wan's hand covered Cody's against his cheek. My dear, see sense. By Zeus, why do you have to be so against your own happiness? Zeus is exactly part of my reasons, Obi-Wan returned evenly, though he did feel himself sinking slowly into Cody's arms. And your uncles and aunts and brothers, and need I truly continue? Cody's thumb stroked over Obi-Wan's cheek, expression so gentle he could barely breathe. Let's try this another way, my prince, he began softly, voice barely above a whisper. Smiting aside, do you have any objections to spending eternity on Olympus with me? Obi-Wan had never felt happier to be backed into a verbal corner. An eternity with Cody? There was only one answer for that blissful prospect. How could I? Cody nodded, self-satisfaction brimming from his very being. Then, my love, forgive me. Obi-Wan barely had a chance to wrinkle his nose or form the words, for what? Before light filled his vision, and he was on that blasted island no more. Break. When his vision cleared, Obi-Wan was in a palace grander than any he had ever seen. And he had the sneaking suspicion that he wasn't even really in anything more than the atrium. Given the very loud shouting echoing throughout the palace, Obi-Wan was even more certain of it than before. If Obi-Wan hadn't been more than usually used to shouting, his father had quite the pair of lungs on him, he might have developed a headache or hearing loss. A man eerily like Cody, only blonde and with winged sandals, appeared out of nowhere on the couch beside him. Father's in fine form today, Hermes, Rex? Announced, his lips curling in a cheeky half-smile. Cody's holding his own, though. I take it this ruckus is on my behalf? Rex inclined his head, not even looking remotely apologetic. Father's the only one who apparently didn't see this coming. Ayala, Aphrodite to you, is insufferably smug right now, and don't get me started on our Lady Mother. I tried to talk him out of it, Obi-Wan muttered, wincing at another barrage of shouting. Don't worry yourself. It was either now or Cody would have gone to Hades to get you when you died. Really, I don't want to cause any trouble. I can just go. Cody would kill me, Rex replied conversationally, reminding Obi-Wan so strongly of his brother it almost hurt. Trust me, if Father wasn't going to let you stay, you would have turned to ashes the moment you arrived. Old Zeusy just likes to yell a bit first. It's the only time anyone ever listens to him. Then how in Olympus do you get anything done? Oh, that's the spouse's council. Rex's eyes glittered, laughing without making so much as a sound. Lady Mother runs it. You'll find out soon enough. Obi-Wan pinched the bridge of his nose. Clearly, he was hallucinating. This was a dream, and he was going to wake up on that deserted island, and none of this had happened. He was simply being fanciful. There was no way a god was going to marry him and spend eternity with him. The yelling reached an ear-splitting crescendo, even Rex leaning away from the glistening golden doors. Then, as if absolutely nothing untoward had happened, the door swung gently open and Cody strolled out. He stood tall, wreathed in vines, and smiling broader and brighter than even Apollo's chariot. Cody saw him awake and winced. "You were supposed to sleep through all of that," he announced, something almost sheepish about the set of his lips. "My dear," Obi-Wan smiled, something inside him just finally giving in. He was on Olympus. Cody almost undoubtedly loved him. Obi-Wan felt the same, or he would very soon. Either way, it didn't matter. It was time just to accept the strange course his formerly miserable life had taken. Cody hummed encouragingly, apparently oblivious to his brother's smothered laughter. "I am not sure anyone could have slept through that." "I'm sorry," Cody offered, kicking his brother off the couch without so much as glancing at him. "I didn't want you to have to hear that. Father welcomes you to Olympus. It just might be best to stay out of his way for a few eons." Obi-Wan's eyebrow traveled up his forehead. "How am I supposed to avoid Zeus on Olympus for a few minutes, let alone eons?" Cody's smile turned positively wicked, Rex kicking him in the shin from his place on the floor. "Don't be an ass, Codes. You don't need to avoid Father. Just try not to be noticeable. Until you get on the Queen's good side." "About an hour and a half, then." Cody's eyes sparkled, pulling him bodily off the couch. "Come on, my love. I've got a surprise for you." Obi-Wan happily went where he followed, yet he could not help but offer a dry comment. "Frankly, my dear, I'm not sure I can handle any more of your surprises." Rex's laughter filled the glowing atrium. "Oh, I like him. We're going to have so much fun." Cody began to tow Obi-Wan further into Olympus, tossing a grin over his shoulder. "You stay away from him. I don't need anyone else tag-teaming on me." "My poor dear," Obi-Wan sympathized, patting his shoulder. "It's been so tough for you." "You'll see." Cody's tone was equal parts dark and promising. "You'll see." Break. Cody's surprise was, apparently, a broom cupboard. A tiny little room that had absolutely no redeeming feature. Yet Cody all but shoved him inside, smiling as victoriously as Obi-Wan imagined the Helenas had when they opened their wooden horse inside the walls of Ilium. "Charming, my dear," Obi-Wan pronounced, taking in the small, dark room. "But I think I preferred our little island." "I wish I'd done this on Naxos," Cody announced, exasperation lining his voice. "We won't get a moment's peace otherwise." Cody almost certainly loved the man before him. He just couldn't quite comprehend him. "I don't understand." "Naxos would have been romantic. This is unfortunately the one place my family won't poke their noses in." Obi-Wan still didn't quite understand. "And you want this because?" "By my father's decree, we're married now." Cody's smile shone bright, matching Obi-Wan's own slightly giddy smile. "Which is what we wanted, but I've never so much as kissed you, and that is unforgivable." "Oh!" Obi-Wan blinked, blushing under the cover of his beard. "Well, as your husband, I have to insist that you kiss me." Cody smiled, closing the distance between them. And then, as such things often go, it was the most perfect kiss of Obi-Wan's newly immortal life. In fact, it was pretty much the most perfect moment of his life. Even Cody's subsequent surprise paled a little in comparison. Obi-Wan never quite managed to tell Anakin that, though, and he was sure Anakin would understand, kissing new husband does marginally overtake meeting long-lost, apparently also immortal brother for the first time in years. Anakin was simply happy to have someone to commiserate with over Zeus. Mace, as he liked to be known, never quite warmed up to Anakin. Obi-Wan, on the other hand, came to be something of an advisor for him when he wasn't too busy on the spouse's council. But enough about that. The main thing was, he and Cody lived very happily together until the end of time. End. Thank you for listening. Podficker's note. This was a thank you gift for Wandering Jedi Historian, aka Ranger Jedi 67. I hope you enjoyed. You know, I think in the classical Greek, he should have been called Obi-Wan, and I definitely considered it. But then also realized that I would never be able to maintain that, and it would only bother everyone, including myself. So we didn't go with it. But know that I considered it.